News, sports, weather from Dr. Bill Williams, traffic info from Kane, and one of the Gulf Coast's most familiar voices. It's Mobile Mornings with Dan Brennan and Dalton Arwig.
Good morning from Dan and Dalton, FM Talk 106.5. It is 7 minutes after 8 o'clock. Mixed sun and clouds, more clouds and sun right now. And we're at 66 degrees, up maybe near 80 for that high today. And there we go. 8 o'clock hour is here. Give us a call, 251-343-0106.
And plenty to get into this hour, including the protesters, which shut down traffic in some big cities, some liberal cities yesterday.
Saw that.
It got out of hand. Some of the footage that I saw, you wouldn't think, I don't know how many years back you'd have to go, but you wouldn't think you'd ever see that in America. People waving not just pro-Palestinian flags, but there were Hezbollah flags.
Unreal.
People dressed up like members of Hamas.
Man.
Burning American flags. That was all happening in America yesterday, and I'm guessing will continue today. We'll get into that, plus some of the things going on in the Alabama legislature.
Oh, by the way.
Today, possibly.
Yeah, we'll get into Montgomery, where there's some things that we're not thrilled about they're doing up there. Did I mention on my walk? I don't want to get too specific here. But anyway, let's just say that I've recently seen a Palestinian flag on a house.
Huh.
You know, like the Ukraine thing?
Yeah.
How people had the Ukrainian flag out and everything like that on their homes. And so that's the first Palestinian flag. That I looked at the flag and I was like,
What's that?
And then I was able to put the colors into my, just Google the colors, map or flag this color, and that's what came up.
I want to see someone waving a Hezbollah flag and the Pride flag in front of the same house.
Yeah.
It's amazing, and we've talked about it plenty. So many of the LGBTQs that are like pro Hamas.
Like
they're pro these groups that would have thrown them off a building.
Do you know what Hamas would do to you?
It's just a complete disconnect from reality.
Yeah.
And saw a lot of that yesterday as well. But I was kind of keeping note of the, in my neighborhood, there were several Ukrainian flags that popped up at the beginning of the war. I don't want to say maybe three or four. There may be one, maybe zero now.
Yeah.
So those have started coming down.
Yeah, that tells you that that's basically, that is like an illustration of where the country is, right? Mm-hmm. Like the flags are out, we're all in. And then after a while, it's kind of like, what's this money going toward? What can we, you know?
And that's going to be the big discussion in D.C. this week.
Yes, it is.
As House Speaker Mike Johnson is supposed to bring up, he wants to bring up separate bills.
Right.
He wants a bill for Israel and a bill for Ukraine, and I guess a bill also for our partners in the Pacific near China. But it's I imagine he's on pins and needles this week. Although, you know, I've heard Marjorie Taylor Greene talk about kicking him out. Rand Paul.
Rand Paul.
He doesn't seem to be too happy about what Johnson has been doing lately since he's become House Speaker. He actually said he seems like a totally different guy. Rand Paul said that he seems like a different legislator than before he became House Speaker.
Interesting.
And Johnson's response to that was basically, and it was kind of like what Congressman Carl said yesterday on with Sean Sullivan. Oh, well, you haven't seen what we've seen. That what I've been told in classified briefings indicates this or that.
Wow.
And I think the main thing is that when you're just a congressman, you're not the House Speaker, you don't have to reach across the aisle necessarily. I mean, it'd be nice if everyone did work together, but when he's House Speaker, I mean, he is the aisle. He has to be the guy that does that. And so that's kind of changed the way he's done things as well. Green said,
a little bit like the guy in the dugout complaining about the third baseman, right? Or the shortstop, right? Mm-hmm. A little bit like that.
A little bit.
You're not even out here on the field dealing with these with this bad field where things skip through your legs, line drives all over the place, and you're just sitting in there with your chew and observing the game.
Spitting seeds.
The House Speaker has got a completely different job than just your run-of-the-mill Congress, of Congress.
But I would say, I think if Rand Paul were the House Speaker, I think he'd still be the same Rand Paul.
Might be.
That we're seeing right now.
Right, but then what would that, I don't know.
But would anything get done?
Right.
Is the question. You know, I would argue a lot of times that nothing getting done is better than just doing
the
wrong thing. So Marjorie Taylor Greene spoke after Johnson said, yeah, we're going to try to bring these bills to the House this week. She said, I'm firmly against the plan as it stands now. And then when asked whether she would force a vote on the motion to vacate, she said, I haven't decided on that yet. Posting on X, Johnson said, in addition to aid for Israel and Ukraine, the bills would support allies in the Indo-Pacific, and there would be additional measures to, quote, counter our adversaries and strengthen our national security. But Republican leaders could still take procedural steps to send all of those pieces as one package to the Senate. That would be enough to upset a lot of the Republicans that are in the conference.
Mm-hmm.
But Biden said he will only, I think the way he put it, he's only going to sign it if it's one bill. Here's what Schumer said yesterday when he was talking about this. This is Senate Majority Leader Chuck Schumer.
If House Republicans put the Senate supplemental on the floor, I believe it would pass today, reach the president's desk tonight, and Israel would get the aid it needs by tomorrow.
But they're trying to lump Ukraine in on that as well. And it's also interesting, while he's in court this week, Trump was meeting with the House Speaker last week, and Trump saying, yeah, we'll give Ukraine money in the form of a loan where they have to pay us back. Johnson spoke about that on Fox News on Sunday.
He's introduced the loan lease concept, which is a really important one that I think has a lot of consensus.
Among the ways GOP leaders plan to address Ukraine aid, a bill to seize Russian assets. They've done that several times, right? A lend-lease program for Ukraine military aid and convertible loans for humanitarian relief. So that's where it stands now. It'll be interesting to see the commentary from the Republicans and the GOP this week.
Dalton, and for our audience as well, what role does the media play in this? And by that I mean coverage of Ukraine, where it was very intense,
mm-hmm.
hour by hour, certainly day to day. You had an update of what's going on here, where the war is, and all that. And I wouldn't, it's not on the back page. It's not on any page, just about.
Well,
what role do you think, you know, all right, every day, for instance, y'all, Dalton and I will go to our sites that we go to kind of figure out what the hot news is. Might go to five or six different sites where we go, and you will see what the headlines are, what the stories that are being covered are, and you notice the absence of some stories too. It's like, well, they didn't think enough of this story to put it up there, and Ukraine would be certainly one of them, right?
Right. Yeah, and I think it's because it's a stalemate, mm-hmm. basically. Yeah. And if Ukraine were making massive movements back towards Russia and pushing Russia back, then we'd be hearing about it nonstop. If Russia was inching closer and closer to Kiev, we'd be hearing about it nonstop. Mm. It's been a stalemate. I think it's going to continue to be a stalemate.
Seems like a mental stalemate or just an interest stalemate as well.
People are still dying, though, every day.
Yeah, that's
Ukrainians
right.
are still dying every
sure,
day. And they
sure.
lowered the draft age for Ukraine. The average, what do you think the average age of the Ukrainian soldier on the front line is right now?
Well, you just kind of gave me a clue there. So the average age would be 20?
44 the last I checked.
44?
Mm-hmm. 44.
So it's all hands on deck.
All hands on deck.
And probably younger, too.
And you look at graphs of the Ukrainian population, and they broke it down into male and female. And even on the female side, my generation,
mm-hmm.
generation of, I don't know, let's say 20-year-old to 35-year-old,
uh-huh.
has been absolutely decimated.
By the death in the war.
Right. Or from people leaving.
Mm.
Decimated. Like, won't come
Not
back
there.
From.
Yeah.
yeah. They would have to import, you know, hundreds of thousands, millions of people in that age range.
Isn't that interesting?
And, of course, they wouldn't be necessarily Ukrainian if they were importing new people. So 44, last I checked, the average age of the front line. And, you know, there's a lot of you who pay attention to history and read your books. Whenever you start sending older people to the front line, it means you're running out of people.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm surprised that they didn't already have the draft age lowered. I think 26 or 24 is where it was, and they're lowering it now. I think that was to try to keep some of the younger generation
alive,
and now they're lowering that. So, you know, dire straits for Ukraine, but they're fighting to a stalemate. And the question is, what is, you know, they're asking for all this funding. I still haven't heard a plan. Have you heard anyone say,
no,
here's our plan, this is how we're going to try to bring an end to this war, other than the people who seem to still think that Ukraine can win the war outright and drive Russia all the way out? You know, at this point, it does seem like Russia's going to get a pretty big chunk of what they've invaded. It's just, you got to set the terms now. And how many more billions of dollars are we going to send? And Michael says, wouldn't Rand Paul need to be a congressman instead of a senator to be the House Speaker? Yeah, you're right. But I'm still saying, if Senator Paul were in a position of leadership, that I think he would remain the same mm-hmm. guy. And maybe you can't say that about most members of Congress or members of the Senate. I think he would be one of them where he would be saying the same thing. He's saying that Johnson changed as the House Speaker.
Right, but Johnson's saying, if you saw what I saw, almost like...
More or less, yeah.
You know, someone has changed, and you know, a gentleman who I think a lot of had changed his political thinking in the midstream, like in his 20s or 30s. And they said, why did you become this when you used to be that? And he simply said, the facts.
Mm-hmm.
The facts changed me. I saw the facts. I was now, the facts were accessible to me. I am a statistician. And so I haven't really changed emotionally, but I've been addressed with new facts. And that's what it seems Johnson would say to Paul and anybody else. And if Paul were, if he were given a different set of facts, he might change too.
He might, yeah. I don't know, but
I mean, really,
I know
if the way Rand Paul thinks is, you know, not emotional, but by the book, the facts say this. You know, if Rand Paul had no weather radar, he could be standing in the yard and struck by lightning. But he's got weather radar, so he's inside during storms. And it's the same with most of us. If we were presented with actual facts, I think it would change the way we look at things.
Yeah,
you know, way too much is done on emotion. You can see that today more than any time when people with what's going on in the big cities right now. It's emotion. It's got nothing to do with facts. And if they were presented with actual facts and were to listen to actual facts, even if it was just a bit, certainly their minds would change.
Well, I will say that, you know, even though this Israel Iran thing could spark even mm-hmm. further. It end up being a major regional war, or as some people point out, maybe the start of World War III. I don't think I'd go that far. I don't think Russia and China are willing to put it all on the line for Iran.
Mm-hmm.
I think they actually both work pretty well with Israel as well, which you won't hear a lot of people saying, mm-hmm. is that Russia and China have deals with Israel too.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
But whether it's that or the war in Ukraine, and they're big stories, no doubt about that. But it's taking attention off of things on the homeland as well. Like, we've got all these stories about the border.
I mean,
the Chinese crossing the border.
I'll read this story to you later this hour. It's like systematic.
Mm-hmm.
They're doing it systematically. It's not like you're escaping poverty in Brazil or Paraguay or wherever. This is a completely different animal trying to get Chinese coming across, but saving $75,000 to fund themselves, flying to Mexico, getting out of the country easily, then flying to Mexico and knowing they're going to find people in the United States who are going to take them in.
And at the same time, you have a former president who's on trial, a former president who is the Republican candidate for president and who could be put behind bars
mm-hmm.
with a slanted judge and a slanted jury pool. And it's not saying it's not a big story, but Israel and Ukraine are taking a lot of the gas out of that as well.
That's a good point. That is a good point. That trial, I guess they're in the middle of their jury selection right now with Trump in New York City.
Mm-hmm.
It's 8:21. Dan and Dalton, blah, 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 blah. Why don't you call and tell us what's going on? 251-343-0106. Also, that's the text line. We'll get to some of those texts on the other side. Thanks for all the texts on the text line, 251-343-0106. Remember when you text Dalton and I, words matter. I mean, we're not your enemy. We're not coming to get you. We're just talking stuff on the radio. It's 826 FM Talk 106.5 in Mobile Mornings. And we'll get up to about 80 degrees today.
Jerry in Fort Morgan, perhaps we should spend the money we don't have and secure our borders. I mean, if we're going to spend money we don't have, I'd prefer we spend it on things that make life in America better.
I would, you know, that makes a lot of sense to me.
I'm going to keep saying it, and Dan calling me the bad news bear this morning, but just two of the different stories. And we've talked about, you know, the interest payments on U.S. debt for a long time now. But last week I had a story that kind of worked out the average amount of taxes people pay in their lifetime.
Like a third.
And it was about $500,000 on average. So that's, you know how averages work. Mm-hmm. Some people pay none.
Yeah.
Some people pay
a lot.
Hundreds of millions of dollars in taxes. But about $500,000 on average, the average American. And that's about a third of their lifetime earnings. So a third of what you'll make generally will go towards taxes. And now 40% of those taxes you are paying are going to pay down interest on the national debt. And that is only going to go up. And it's going to go up exponentially over the next 10, 15 years. So all that hard work as you're sitting at work today and you're making money, yeah, you're paying down interest. It's got to be so disheartening for people who in their own homes aren't taking out loans, especially now, aren't throwing everything they have on their credit card because they know how good money management works, but the government is just absolutely out of control.
They're doing the job for us, right?
They're doing the job for us.
Yeah.
It's disheartening. I think I already used that word, and I'll say the same thing. Tony Ann, good morning. We had a well-attended, successful Mobile Chocolate Festival.
All right.
I just wanted to thank 106.5 for helping to promote it.
Sure.
And let's see here. Michael, I-65 northbound at a standstill right at airport. I'll have to step outside and take a look. I-65 northbound at a standstill right at airport. Lisa says, is it just me or does it bother anyone else that people living in our country are disrupting traffic nationwide, flying Hezbollah flags? They are terrorists in the Middle East and are dressing as such in the U.S. That truly disturbs me.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's one thing to just see that there were traffic holdups yesterday and Golden Gate Bridge, that one went on for a long time.
O'Hare Airport, didn't you tell
me? People were having to get out of their cars
and walk to the airport.
Walk into Terminal 1 in order to make their flight.
Incredible.
Because they had stopped the traffic there near part of the airport. They shut down I-880 in Oakland. In New York City, about 300 protesters gathered outside the New York Stock Exchange. They also flooded downtown Miami and downtown Tampa. And so that's one thing. But then you look at actual video. There was one, I guess, Jewish guy who hopped out into the protest in New York. You talk about some stones.
Mm.
And he had an American flag and an American flag shirt on. They burned his flag, tried to burn the shirt off of his body.
Man.
No one got arrested in that particular instance. I mentioned the Hezbollah flag that was flying, at least one. And then one protester who was dressed up exactly like the terrorists of Hamas when they poured across the border of Israel back in October. And that's happening right here.
Yep. It's
with the endorsement of many members of Congress.
Oh, well, that's
or really, a few anyway, maybe not many.
A few. And then you got a guy from northern Alabama dropped some sort of a mechanism at the Attorney General's, and he turned out to be an Antifa guy, right?
Antifa.
Right.
Gay and Antifa.
In state. Thank you. It's 8:30. Dan and Dalton, good morning.
A34 FM Talk 106.5 Mobile Mornings on a Tuesday. So let me pair a couple things together here for you. This segment brought to you by
Alrighty.
Tobias and Comer Law. So April is Distracted Driving Awareness Month. That's one thing. I think you'd be surprised at how many fatal accidents come from not just drunk drivers or otherwise inebriated for one reason or another drivers, but just distracted driving and being on your phone would be the main thing there. But there's a lot of accidents, a lot of fatal accidents that could have been prevented just by not being distracted. And so maybe this month, make an effort to not drive distracted. At the same time, this week is National Work Zone Awareness Week. And I think Sean today will have a couple folks, including the dog Millie, in to talk about National Work Zone Awareness Week. But a couple things to keep in mind, and Tobias and Comer Law, safety for them, for you, is the utmost importance. And they're a local personal injury law firm. They've helped get fair compensation for ton of folks in our area, and they've been doing it for decades from their office down on Dauphin Street. From car to boating accidents, defective products, to workplace accidents and maritime injuries, Tobias and Comer Law has seen it all. And they have all kinds of great information on their website, tobiascomerlaw.com, including checklists and the like to make sure that, well, your boat's ready for boating season and you're safe as possible. And same thing on the roads, and making sure you are prepared for any road trip or getting the teenagers ready to drive. So check them out, tobiascomerlaw.com. You can also find the phone number there for a free consultation 24/7. That number is 251-432-5001, tobiascomerlaw.com.
It is Election Day.
It
kind
is.
Of forgot that in some of our conversations have gone in certain directions, and it's like, oh, by the way, yeah. And we get this in from the text line. Voted at the Shrine Temple. I was the only voter there.
Woo! It's
very sad. Okay, thanks for the
Yikes.
Update. So that's why we're not getting the updates in the first place. People aren't at the polls, it looks like. I'm going to get there right after, I don't know, maybe 10:30 or so. I vote at St. Paul's Church.
Okay.
Up on the top of the hill.
Do you just vote there, or is that where you're supposed to vote?
I vote there.
You just go.
I know.
Fill something out.
Yeah, I know Phyllis, and I just, hey, can I vote?
Yeah.
No, the one time after I moved, you know, there was, I think I went to the wrong place, and we had to figure it all out.
Yeah, that's always fun.
Oh, my gosh. Used to vote many times at the Mobile Museum of Art added to the park,
mm-hmm.
Langan Park. But now it's St. Paul's, and so that's it. And so I will get out there and find out what's going on. It doesn't sound like I'm going to be standing in much of a line.
Yeah, I remember one time before I moved, I was voting out at the Senior Center. That's where I voted on Hillcrest.
Okay.
And they just moved it one day, and I'm sure they sent me something. And I showed, I think it was the 2020 election, actually. And I showed up and no one was there. They said, oh, you're voting at the middle school now.
Ah.
And I got there and the line was wrapped around
sure.
the building. Of course, that was for the presidential election.
Yeah.
I think we'll see a lot of the same this November, but that is not the case
right now.
Today.
Just think about this. This is what's going to determine who's on the ballot in November.
So, yeah, I was going
to say. And nobody's securing that.
The dominoes that will fall here
mm-hmm.
because District 2,
mm-hmm.
once we get into the general, this is the marquee race
yes,
in Alabama. One of five or six nationwide.
Yes, it'll get a lot of attention nationally.
It will play a part in determining who controls the House of Representatives in January
yeah.
after the elections in November. This district, the one where one person has been at the Abbott Temple, so you're not just voting for just a generic Republican or a generic Democrat, you're picking today the person you feel will have the best chance to beat the opponent in the general election in November.
In an election that is critical.
That is critical. It could decide the House of Representatives
yeah.
in the fall. So, yeah, it's a big deal, but maybe people are burnt out. A lot of people are out of town for spring break. Who knows how many absentee ballots were filled out over the last few weeks for folks who weren't going to be in town. Paul says, E.R. Dixon at 7 o'clock. I was one of eight. Well, that's a bigger number than they've got at the Shrine Temple. I'll have to tell Jeff or Sean how many are at my voting place once I get there a little bit later today. And
Where are you now? Still at the middle school?
No. So I'm on university now.
Okay.
Regency Church of Christ is
okay.
where I vote.
Okay.
Yeah. So if you don't think who you vote for is important, all you have to do is look at just our state legislature, right? And we came into this session thinking that gambling, or at least the lottery, would pass. Now it's looking like none of that will happen. No gambling, no lottery, no casinos. And
so
for many people, even those
who don't, special election then.
Possibly, yeah, I guess.
Right?
No, because the Senate was saying, hey, we'll do that special election in September rather than November.
So that's not even going to be an issue now.
But it doesn't seem like the House wants to pass the Senate's version, and the Senate doesn't want to pass the House's version, so we end up back at square one.
Yep.
And even for those who don't gamble or want to play the lottery, a lot of people were like, let's go ahead and do it because of the revenue it will bring into the state.
Mm-hmm.
Well, now that revenue if gambling doesn't, you know, rise from the dead over the next 8 legislative days, and if they don't call a special session to get it across the finish line, there will be no revenue coming in from lottery or anything of that nature. They will, if this bill passes, have a little extra revenue coming in the form of raising taxes and raising those taxes on your online purchases.
1.3% bump in the tax on online purchases.
So remember, before 2015, pretty much no one was paying online sales tax, state sales tax for online purchases. It became voluntary. The SSUT, Simplified Seller's Use Tax, became voluntary in 2015, but didn't become mandatory until 2019. And then they saw, of course, a major boost in tax revenue from people that were shopping online. So what they want to do, and the way they're portraying this, and it's a Democrat bill, I believe it was England, Chris England, who proposed this House bill to raise the taxes, but it has the support of at least a few Republicans that are, they got it out of committee, and very well could make its way through the House of Representatives as early as today. Now, 1819 News says there may be a little bit more pushback today, but tax for online sales has been at 8%. And right now, 50% goes to the state, the rest to cities and municipalities, and they break it down even further from there. But like Dan said, if this passes, they'll raise that online sales tax from 8% to 9.3%. The additional revenue from the 1 1/3 increase, percentage increase, will go to municipalities, counties, and now school systems, which is one of the changes they made in the House committee last week. But their reasoning behind this is it's not fair. Local business owners, brick-and-mortar stores, have higher taxes than when people go online to shop, and that we need to even it out.
Their reason behind that, or their stated reason behind that?
That's their stated reason.
Right.
Yeah.
Because I ain't so sure.
It's all about the small business owner.
Right, right.
Which, politically, that makes sense to say that, right?
Exactly.
But I do remember, and Jeff brought it up yesterday, he said this is all about the Big Ten. Big Ten mayors in Alabama. And he went through the list. You have, of course, Mobile, Huntsville, Montgomery, Birmingham,
Tuscaloosa,
Auburn, Tuscaloosa. Yeah. Work your way down the list. And I remember they put out a press release maybe before the session or even further back where they were saying that they wanted more of a cut and that they didn't feel that the payout was equal. They wanted the payout more equal to population rather than a equal payout to cities and municipalities. Or at least they felt like they should have been getting a bigger cut because the same people that are buying online would have been buying from them locally, and then that sales tax would have worked its way into the coffers of the municipalities or the counties from there. But no matter how you cut this, no matter how you present it, this is an increase in sales tax.
By a Republican
supermajority.
Yeah.
Yeah. These same people who will crow and whine about any other taxes levied by the federal government, or they go into office promising they're not going to raise taxes. They get this huge, huge boost during COVID, way too big of a boost over COVID. And did they use that money wisely or not? I don't know. But like Sean said yesterday, now they're kind of trying to fill that hole where that revenue is going away.
And also maybe the revenue that's not going to come from gaming, because gaming's out the window pretty much right now. And remember the estimations of what gaming would mean to Alabama? $315 to $492 million a year, depending on
what passed.
What all passes, right? I think a lottery itself would be between $305 and $400 million, something like that. Just a lottery, which doesn't look like, because they keep attaching things to it, it's never going to get passed, and we can get into all that. But you wonder if that's some of it, is they see the over, that's not going to happen. Where can we go? And you know I'm Mr. Amazon. We talked about that. Yeah. And I'm Mr. Amazon because I love seeing my neighbors get gifts. It's like, that was for me, you know, Amazon driver. That was mine. You put it at the wrong place. So I love to gift my neighbors stuff that I need myself. So I go to Amazon.com and I watch the truck pull up and he's not coming to my house. Like, hey, buddy, over here. Mm-hmm. So anyway, there are some holes in the Amazon game, but I get it, and it is very, very convenient to just, you need something, you don't need it right now, but you need it,
right?
And you go to Amazon.com, and it's so simple. You have an account, and generally, here comes that product the next day or two, if they don't take it to the wrong place.
And when I can, I still shop local, and I think a majority of you are the same. If you're going to buy something from Amazon, especially if it's something larger than what you can carry on your own, or you can go down the street and buy it and have it with you right then, right when you buy it. I think most people will, as long as there's not a massive price difference, will still go down the street and buy from the local business, right?
Look at the example of the Eclipse and Spring Hill Ace Hardware.
Yeah.
That was just one comment that you made, correct? Am I right about that?
Yeah, about...
Talk about that.
Because someone said, hey, Spring Hill Ace had those Eclipse glasses yesterday. We just mentioned that text, and several people went over to get those from Spring Hill Ace. People around here still support local, especially our listeners. I think it's overblown what they're saying, that that by increasing the online sales tax, it'll force more people into the brick-and-mortar stores in your neighborhood. I just don't think that will happen at a big enough rate for that to be the reasoning behind it. And if that was the case, if they wanted to make it more fair on local business owners, not one person has mentioned cutting state right. sales tax on local purchases. They always raise taxes. They never cut taxes. So I think this is...
There's, like you're saying, there's two ways to make it fair, right?
Mm-hmm.
But one is off the table.
One's off the table. Yeah, they're not going to do that. And Jeff, you know, he's all over this. He talked about it yesterday with a couple of his guests, and I think it's absolutely insane that there's not a bigger, that more people don't have an issue with this Republican supermajority raising taxes.
Yeah. Well, look also at this Republican supermajority and the jump in the prison prices and the high price for, at one point, the highly considered ABC warehouse, which was just outrageous stuff, outrageous spending. And you're like, really? This is a Republican supermajority, a conservative supermajority, not acting like it, doesn't feel like it when you look at your wallet and your checkbook.
Yeah, they sure seem to be more like big government Republicans than small government Republicans.
I mean, it's... We talk about the facts, right? We talk about, well, what do the facts say? Well, in this case, the facts are irrefutable. Mm-hmm. It's like crazy spending by Republicans.
Gardner says Alabama taxpayers pay the tax, not the sellers. That is right. Joel in Somerdale, it's all about putting more money in the state's pocket. It isn't about making it fair. That's ridiculous. And this text says Amazon drivers train at FedEx. Okay, and Texter says, if gambling bill passes, where are the tax cuts? Are we just growing government? Yeah, that's all the government wants to do is grow, it seems, these days.
Yeah, I think my Amazon drivers train at McDonald's or something. I mean, I don't know where they're getting their training, but for as little as I do online shopping, it's a crapshoot whether I'm actually going to get that product or not.
It almost sounds like you're taunting your driver now. If they listen to our show, you're never getting another package.
Of course they listen to our show. My gosh, we're award winners. Why would they not? They want to know what's going on. They're listening to our show. Just having a little fun with
it. Now they're crying.
I'm doing what the guy on the text line did to us, right? words matter. It's 8:49 with Dan and Dalton, Mobile Mornings and FM Talk 106.5, and good to have you along. Let's go around to the text line here. Some of you got some issues and also opinions of the show, which we appreciate one way or the other. Also going to look at the border and all these Chinese coming over, which is record numbers. 24,200 arrested last month. These are Chinese that are coming in, kind of giving themselves up to arrest, and then being kind of a system going on here where they are incarcerated for 24 to 48 hours, then they're taken to San Diego.
Hop on a taxi
driven by other Chinese Americans who are here, and at that point, then whatever.
Dispersed.
Yeah.
And even though they talked to a family in that story who said they weren't really facing any dire situations in China that forced them to America. They were just like, yeah, we just wanted to come to America. It's mostly single Chinese males who are coming across the border. At least that's what they've noticed during these apprehensions at the border. And then you have yesterday, a National Guardsman. This happened near El Paso. National Guardsman shot a migrant while responding to a stabbing involving illegal border crossers. This happened Sunday, actually. U.S. soldiers, of course, have been trying to contain the constant flood of illegal crossings. One of the they were notified of one stabbing another at the edge of the Rio Grande River near the Texas razor wire fencing. One of the responding guardsmen ended up shooting an immigrant at the scene, and the shot man fled back to Mexico. Well, I guess that's one way, right? The area where the incident happened is near Gate 36, which has been in the news a whole lot lately, hotspot for illegal crossings, and where last month, remember when they tore down the one fence and then came at the National Guardsmen that were at another fence, and there ended up being some violence there and a lot of arrests made, but yeah, now somebody got shot yesterday. Looking at the text line, let's see. Jerry says the same bunch of folks are running this state that were running this state 40 years ago when they were all Democrats. It's the same crowd, not a nickel's worth of difference.
Well, you have the feeder system beginning in high school and at the University of Alabama, where these people get their political footing and then know how the game is played, and here they come.
I'll never change. I think someone who wanted to be a politician at a young age, I guess that's fine if that's, but I'll never trust you. have normal dreams. Want to be a space, you want to be an astronaut or a firefighter or a baseball player? That seems normal.
Yeah.
Someone who wants to be a state senator when they're six, I mean, I guess that's cool, but it's just kind of strange to me. I don't know.
Yeah, and there are certain. There is a certain trait in certain people, and that's, you can see it. I mean, you can see it from, you know, watching kids at the University of South Alabama at a game, and there's one of them that's in charge of the rooting group or whatever, you know, and that guy ends up to be a politician. Mm-hmm. He's in charge. It's interesting.
Pat says, I'm okay with increasing state taxes sometimes. It's needed. What should never increase is federal taxes. But is this 1.3% increase in the online sales tax needed? Or are they just trying to cover up a hole that's going to be left by a lot of the federal money that poured into states? Are they trying to fill that hole now that COVID and those that money has quit coming in? I think that's probably more likely the reason that they're trying to, and because this gambling bill doesn't seem like it's going to pass. Matt says, morning, guys. Until Governor Ivey forces the state legislature's hand on gambling and lottery, we're never going to get a chance to vote on anything. If I were Meemaw, I'd threaten them all with special session after special session until they produce two clean bills, one for lottery and one for gambling. Thank you for the text there, Matt. Coming up, Jeff Poor Show today. Speaking of Ivey, she was at the Caroline Dobson for Congress event last night, according to 1819 News.
Showing her hand, huh?
I guess so.
So you're saying Governor Ivey's going to be a guest on the Jeff Poor Show?
No, but Caroline Dobson will be a guest in hour number one.
Oh, I was hoping.
Hour number two, former State Senator Dick Brubaker. Hour three, John Wall, the chairman of the Alabama GOP. And then also hour number three, Congressman Jerry Carl joins Jeff on the Jeff Poor Show.
Well, it is Election Day. And though you may think this is not a big election, like Dalton and I have been pointing out, it's going to lead to a big election in November. So you might want to pay attention and get out there and vote. 8:59, just about anyway. It's Dan and Dalton, FM Talk 106.5. Mobile Mornings, the name of our show, and we will be with you tomorrow beginning at 6 o'clock.